You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, this is a view from the bridge, official podcast of the Grand Slam winning Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 27th of June, 2023. My name is Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. And as always, you can download us on your Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the normal podcast providers. Talk to your Alexa device and see if they'll play it for you as well. Good to see everybody. Hope you're having a fun summer. On this week's show, there's been a lot of movement in the Belfast Giants roster, both in and out. So let's have a look there. Maybe we could add a new name. Maybe we could add two. We'll see. And Adam Keefe will join us later for a chat. Mr. McGimsey, how are you doing?
Doing very well, Paddy. Do you know, whenever the season came to its fantastic climax and we won and we did the last show, and you have that, thank goodness that's over, and that because we did it for 33, 34, whatever it is, weeks in a row, and it becomes a grind to do it. Can't wait to get going again. I'm delighted to see you both. I've missed hanging out with you on Tuesday nights, and we still talk, but not as much. So it's lovely to see you.
Absolutely. And a man who flew to Vegas to see the Stanley Cup champions. How are you doing, Sis? How was your trip?
It was the game. The trip was brilliant, as it always is. But the Vegas game in T-Mobile Arena was, I've never experienced anything like it, as in at a hockey game. It was absolutely incredible. The atmosphere was off the charts. It was game two. I mean, I think Florida finished the game with six guys on the bench. There's that many guys thrown out. Their discipline was poor. Vegas were great, but the atmosphere and the game experience in the arena was absolutely top notch. It was just, I mean, I've been to loads of NHL games. And you know what? I couldn't believe it. Taff said to me on the way over, I've never been to an NHL game before.
Wow.
And I go, you're having a laugh. Like, and literally, as I say, I mean, I have to say a massive thank you to Sports Entertainment Tours for coming out with the tickets. I could not believe he got us the tickets, which is absolutely brilliant. But Taff not being in an NHL game before, I've been to quite a few. Lucky enough, I've been to quite a few. But and you, I know you guys have been as well, but the atmosphere when you go to an NHL game, sometimes it's really bad. I mean, it's very quiet. It's obviously depending on which arena you go to, and it's a bit, you know, can be a bit quiet. Being in Madison Square Garden in January for the Rangers and Bruins games was a good atmosphere, but it was nowhere near the level of a Stanley Cup final game, which again was it's absolutely amazing.
Fantastic. Glad you enjoyed it, mate. Good trip there.
I've got a couple of follows up on Sizzler. Obviously, money aside, there's things that we can't do that they can do on a game night. Did you get anything, the feedback in the operations here to go, there's the little things that were done there that we could do? Obviously, the drone and stuff was talked about, but, you know, anything that you came back with?
Should have to wait and see. Yeah. I spoke to Neil and I spoke to Glover and some of the things. And Glover was at a Stanley Cup game as well, up at Edmonton. So, you know, he's brought a few wee nitpicks back as well. But it's we'll just have to wait and see what happens. What about Glasgow, buddy?
Sorry? What about Glasgow? Oh, just a small get together in a field in Somerset. It was baking hot on Saturday, buddy. It's like it properly, like Davey, you were only up the road, but it's like it was so hot.
I'm assuming you had a hat on, buddy. I must have covered the whole body.
Mate, the back of my neck is at the peeling stage, and that was only from the walk in. But yeah, it was phenomenal. Elton, I could dedicate a whole podcast to just droning on about Glastonbury between Elton John and the Foo Fighters, and even acts like, you know, Rick Astley and stuff like that. Just great crack. But and I've known from, like, that's the sixth time I've been lucky enough to get there. And some of the best times are just bumbling around, just going to a little place here, a little place there. Somebody's singing there, somebody's singing there. Not even the big stages. But, a fabulous weekend.
You know, one of the things that, I mean, I always, on a Sunday, I don't know why, but on a Sunday night, I always watch the Glastonbury stages on a Sunday night. And we were talking just before we went live that, you know, I've never seen a crowd like it for Elton John, and I know you were talking about the Rolling Stones and Dolly Parton and what have you. I have never seen a crowd like that before. But one of the things I love looking at Glastonbury on TV is the flags. Some of the flags
this year
are off the charts. Like, they're absolutely brilliant.
Some of them I can't repeat on air, but some of the flags were absolutely remarkable and so funny. But we had one ourselves as well, because one of our friends turned 50 today, actually. But so it was his big face on a flag, and if you watch Rick Astley, you'll be able to see it. But no, a great time was had, mate. I'm still suffering.
we do love a flag in Northern Ireland, like.
Well, yeah, we do love a flag. Yeah, a good time was had. Right, let's crack. Well, firstly, before we get on to the stuff that got to the Belfast Giants, we'll begin with the sad news yesterday: the death of 20-year-old Sheffield Steeler Alex Graham. A Sheffield lad, he'd played 81 games for his hometown Elite League club, having recently signed his first professional contract. He's also represented GB at under 18 and under 20 level. There's not much to say. We here at AVFTB would like to extend our heartfelt condolences to the friends and family of Alex and to all in the Steelers community who are feeling the loss of a young lad who had both his life and a bright career ahead of him. Things like that put a lot of things into context, but we're going to crack on regardless. We hopefully will be able to share with you one of the names on the Belfast Giants roster, maybe two, shortly, and maybe even be joined by one of those names, maybe two, before Adam O'Keefe comes and joins us later in the show. But first of all, there's been a lot of comings and goings in this Belfast Giants roster, a lot of names, as is the way with regards to a team who are successful last season as we have been. A lot of the big names, a lot of names that we would like to stay are going to get better, are going to get bigger contracts, are going to move on. And we've had to say goodbye to the players like, you know, Sammy Ruop and these guys have moved on to Tyler Soy. These guys have moved on with their careers. And as you said, quite rightly, Davey, we thank them for making this a stop on their journey. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to bring up the current roster as we see it from the amount of announcements that have taken place in the last few weeks. Belfast Giants have been brilliant at bringing these out, by the way. Just dropping them here and there. Fantastic. Netminded so far, we have Jackson Whistle and the return of Tyler Bescaro-Wanny. In defence, Jeff Baum's back for another season, as is Mark Garside. We've also seen the return of David Phillips from Sheffield and the return of Josh Roach for another season in Teal. And in regards to the forward lines, Ben Lake's back, Sean Norris is back, Ara Nazarian joins for the first season in Teal. Daniel Tedesco announced yesterday as the as a new signing for the Belfast Giants, coming in, of course, from the Guildford Flames. Matt McLeod made quite an impact when he joined late in the season last year, and he's back. Kuhei Sato, I hope I'm saying that right, has joined for the first season. Kieran Long's back, and coming in from Dundee, Elijah Barriga. Gentlemen, of those and the way it's set up, I'll start with you, Davey. Your thoughts on how this roster is coming together and what names have sort of stuck out to you?
Scroll down there ever so slightly, just so I don't have to look at longer. Well, no,
forge, up, back, up, forge back,
up, 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 yeah. up, stop. No, nah, you've gone too far. The one with Matt McLeod.
Matt McLeod? There.
So here we go. Tedesco McLeod. Now, I'm not suggesting that's going to be a line for a minute. Tedesco McLeod and Kohei Sato, but imagine the speed of that line coming at you. That would be a frightening proposition for any defense to be facing them. Look, it's one of those, Paddy. We're still in the progress of putting the whole squad together, so you've got to take it in the whole when it's all together. As you've said, we've lost some names, some maybe still to come back, and you know, some of those signings are standout. Tedesco, obviously, it's guys that come into the league that you haven't seen before and you have to go and do a wee bit of research on. That's exciting and that's a bit of fun. And then you've got guys like Tedesco who come in, who lit up the league in Guildford last year, and you kind of know what you should get from him. Doesn't always translate into what you do get, but you know, he's come with a bit of pedigree and he knows this league well, and he's scored a lot of points in this league, so hopefully he'll hit the ground running. That's what you expect from these guys. Some guys, like you know, the sort of the chat on Sato is that he's got speed to burn, and you know, and alongside Matt McLeod there, and obviously there's Paul Mattingly coming up there, Gary back as well. So always love to see Mark Garside in the Belfast Giants jersey. Love to see him playing his guitar as well. So, but unfortunately, that album's going to have to wait another whole year now. But scroll on down. Who else do we have? Barriga coming in from, obviously that was announced quite a while ago. Barriga coming in from Dundee as well. So, you know, another guy with experience in the league. It's quite exciting. Interested to see what we're going to do in the back end. We look pretty good going forward there, so it'll be interesting to see just how that finishes out. Rochi back, obviously, more talk around. It's going to be a few months. Simon, yeah, isn't that what the press release said about Rochi? He's still recovering, so he'll be like signing a new player when he comes in, as he was in December last year. Like I talked about it in the end of season wrap-up when we did it last season. Josh Roach was really pivotal to our success last season. We'd lost those two games against Storm in early December. The season was tailing off. We didn't know what was going to happen. We couldn't get a goal. Everything was going against us. We'd gone through that long road stretch where we had a lot of injuries and stuff to deal with. Rochi came in and was a bit of a catalyst to turning things around, and we went on a serious run then, Christmas, New Year, and steamrolled in the like Grand Slam. So really liking how it's shaping up. Nice to see Davey Phillips back again. I was doing a little thing for Laura the other day there, and his name popped up a few times from rosters from 10 years ago. So again, another guy with deep experience in the Elite League. So shaping up nicely. And of course, I'll leave the number, the goaltending, that says he'll be excited about that.
Simon, what sticks out for you?
Davey's more or less covered it. I mean, Daniel Tedesco, 36 goals last year, I think he had with Guildford in all competitions. And then, you know, Barriga's going to be a good player. He played with Jeff Baum in American College a few years ago as well. So, says a good kid. Mace, which we'll talk about, has basically commented on him as well. So, look, the most important signing was probably one of the first ones we announced, which was Besko. Besko back for another season is absolutely massive for us. I know we were chatting to him today. Laura was on the phone to him today. Everything's from his side of things. We're pushing forward, and he's got another new addition to the family this year. Obviously, you know, you've had baby Besko, which is awesome. He's not baby anymore. He's big boy Besko. So, you know, you're going to have young little Cooper coming into the games as well. And there's like, Davey touched on it right at the top of the show. We've been out for a while. We've been away. Well, let's rephrase that. We've been away from the podcast and the webcast and what have you. You know, seeing how much work that Adam, Steve, Mace and George are putting in behind the scenes and getting everything ready is absolutely pivotal. It's, you know, watching all the jealous other fan bases around the league, they're all probably watching tonight, are you? You know, saying that we spend an absolute fortune. We don't spend any more than anybody else with regards to players. With regards to the way we treat players and the way we do our homework and bring everybody in and the way we do everything off the ice and everything, you know, regarding travel, and we do it right. And that's why people want to join us. So, you know, great to have Tedesco on board. Barriga, top point scorer in his team last year. Tedesco's top point scorer in his team. You know, when you lose likes of David Goodwin, we've talked about Goody And, you know, obviously the top line last year for us was absolutely massive. Steve Orr, he's not here next year. And it's huge. And we need to find guys to replace him. And I'm actually really glad you showed who we've actually signed, so don't put my foot in it. And everybody else. But we're in a really good spot right now.
And I know we talk about we get excited about players and new players coming in and sad when friends and old players disappear. But probably Simon's talked about the off-ice stuff, re-signing Adam Keefe, Mace coming back in after his year out of hockey. And, you know, these kind of things, it's so important that the off-ice is settled and has that George back, Stewie back, and really settled. They can go and do their business with Steve and Says and Laura and whoever else gets, you know, doing the off-ice stuff. But to have that settled off-ice that allows us to go and build the roster that we're going to build, it's exciting, isn't it?
It is. No, as I say, we're in a really good spot. And you know, it's when you look at how successful we were last season, it would be stupid of any other club in this league to think that, no, do you know what? They're going to live on their laurels and not put up a fight next year. That's not going to happen. We want to keep these three trophies. Adam's already talked about it. And you know, it's going to be very, very difficult because everybody wants to beat the champions. So whether it's the champions in the playoffs or whether it's in the league or whether it's in the Challenge Cup, everybody wants to beat the team that basically holding that trophy. So you only get it for a short time. Half the guys that are coming in this year have never held those trophies and they all want to win. You'll probably hear it from if we are going to announce somebody here very shortly, you know, whoever it is that we're going to speak to, they're not coming here just to make the numbers up. They're coming here because they want to win, and they know that Belfast are going to give them a good chance to do that.
Well, let's do that, shall we? We've got a new name for the Belfast Giants, a new name on the roster. You saw that we've got four defensemen signed up. Let's add a fifth, shall we? This is a 25-year-old defenseman from Bowmanville, Ontario. Please welcome to the Belfast Giants and, of course, to a view from the bridge, Jacob Friend. How you doing, mate?
Good to be on, guys. It's nice to meet you guys, and it's a pleasure to be on.
Thanks for joining us. First questions first. How does it come about that you joined the Belfast Giants?
Well, it's not very often that you get to, you get to play on a team that has had the success that that Belfast has had. I knew I wanted to go try overseas. I've been in North America for the past 3 years. I knew I wanted to try overseas, and I want to play on a team that's got a winning culture. And obviously, Belfast has got just that. I played with Aaron Azarian. I know he was recently announced as a signing. We played together for the past 3 years. I saw that he was interested in coming, and they got the deal done. And like I said, it's not often you get to come to a team that has a lot of success. And obviously I want to come and I want to win. And that's what Belfast brings that opportunity to do. And being there with Aaron Azarian is just a bonus. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity for a team to win.
The last couple of seasons you've been, you know, more or less playing in the coast with a dipping your toe in the AHL a little bit. How difficult is it to make that decision to cross the Atlantic and to say, you know what, I'm going to give it a go in Europe?
You know what, for some people, it could be very difficult, whether that be they have wives, kids, pets, whatever it may be. For others, it's something that they want to experience. That's obviously something that I want to do. I mean, there's lots more out there than just North America, and there's lots of other great leagues out there. And I tried my hand in North America and had a great run and enjoyed my time there. I met lots of great people, but like I said before, there's lots of other things out there. There's lots of other great leagues. There's lots of other great players, great opportunities, and that's what I got myself here in Belfast. It's a great league with a great opportunity.
Jacob, very nice to meet you. Welcome to Belfast. Welcome to Belfast virtually. I'm looking forward to when you get here in person. How easy a decision was it to make? I know Paddy sort of half referenced that question, but have you done a little bit of research in the league? Have you referenced players you've played with, have played in this league? And are you looking forward to the experience, English speaking, kind of? Are you looking forward to the experience of coming over here and just trying almost a completely different culture?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm extremely excited. I think that I've talked to a number of players who have played in the EIHL. My sister's boyfriend played in the EIHL, and they all say nothing but great things. And obviously Belfast is at the top of that list for a lot of those people. And that's what made it just a little bit more exciting is again, just coming to the best team in the league, coming for a chance to win. Because obviously that's everyone's goal in hockey, is not just to have fun. You know what I mean? Like it's great to be in somewhere fun and somewhere new, which I'm going, but there's another aspect to that, and that's winning. And they obviously, Belfast is obviously giving myself a great chance to win.
Yeah, and Simon talked about it there earlier, you know, coming off a Grand Slam, we won everything there is to win. But as fans and as players, you're hungry, you want more, and we want those trophies back next season, and I'm sure you want to put your hands on them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I heard you guys talking about it a little bit before I got on. Everyone wants to beat the best, right? And you guys said it too. There's going to be a handful of us that haven't touched those trophies, so it's something that we want just as bad as the fans want, as the rest of the players on the team. Everyone's going to want it to do it again. And everyone in the league is going to try to make sure that we can't do that. And that's what's going to make it a great opportunity to do it again.
Jacob, what sort of player can the Belfast Giants expect when you hit the ice?
So I think that my game is surrounded a lot of getting in the face of the opponent's best players. For the past 3 years now, I've been able to play a big role in shutdowning the other team's best players. And that game is primary physically, you know, like I enjoy getting in the mix. I enjoy laying the body. I have been known to drop the gloves once or twice. But the biggest thing for me is I take pride in the defensive zone and shutting down the other team's best players. And that helps a lot in the offensive zone, which is where a lot of my offense comes from in my game, is just being able to play well in the defensive zone, which translates into only being able to play in the offensive zone. So basically what you guys are going to see from me is just shut down style defenseman and hard nose hockey. And I'm going to be in the face of the other players.
We've obviously talked about the EIHL, with the Champions Hockey League being part of the package now in Belfast. Was that a hook being dangled for you? Was that something that it might have interested you come and play in Belfast?
Oh, absolutely. That was another key factor in enticing me to come over and play specifically for Belfast. I mean, those are six teams that everyone else in the league that's not going to be able to play against, right? And it's three places that I wouldn't have been able to go if I did not play in Belfast. And it's another opportunity to go out there and do the best you absolutely can and try and win even more games. You know what I mean? Those are six games that the other teams in the league that aren't playing. And I'm super excited to go out there and try and win those games as well.
What does summer entail for you, Jacob? Are you back on the ice already? Or have you been keeping in shape, or is it just basically enjoying your summer?
No, so I got home, I think, just over a month ago, and obviously the season starts a little sooner overseas than it does in North America. So I got right back into the swing of things of getting back on the ice and training, making sure I'm staying in shape for the season. I want to make sure that I come in the best shape that I can and perform the best I can right from the get-go.
Well, listen, we really appreciate you coming and joining us. Welcome to Belfast. Welcome to the Belfast Giants. And enjoy your summer, and hopefully we'll see you when you get over here.
Yeah, it's great to meet all you guys.
Just one more from Simon. One more question.
Just one thing.
Simon. Yeah.
Are we speaking too fast for you? Because it's sort of when we get new guys coming in, we get a little bit excited and, you know, we look forward to the season. We haven't been on for a while. But if we are speaking too fast, then just give us a poke or just tell us to shut up. We can slow down.
No, it's funny. I played what we call over here soccer quite a bit growing up. And I still play in the summers every once in a while. And I actually have a great friend who's from Leicester, and he has quite a few of his English friends. So it's not foreign for me. So don't worry about it.
That's good. Obviously not, because you said Leicester and not Leicester, which is what we normally said. Fantastic.
He would kill me.
No doubt. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll see you when you get to Belfast.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. It was great meeting you.
Cheers.
Big thanks to Jacob Friend, the newest name, number two, the newest name on the Belfast Giants roster. You're saying that he likes to drop the gloves from time to time. You just shared something there with me, David, didn't you? Let me just have a look at this play.
He was up with the Moose. He was up with the Moose in the AHL for a couple of games last season. He got a PTO. He went to, I believe he actually went to the Manitoba camp and got released in camp and then came back up for a PTO that lasted two games before he went back to Jacksonville Iceman, off the top of my head there.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Yeah. Same team as Aaron. So big old boy, big unit.
He is. Do you know what? That sort of in-your-face defenseman. You know, we talked about the moving on of Sammy Roop, and you know, who was brilliant with the hands, but also wasn't afraid to get stuck in as and when he was required. You know, and maybe this is a sort of that sort of ilk of a top level defenseman with a bit of physicality, says.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we've got, over the years, we've had guys who've been very, very physical. You know, you just look at Rayner a couple of years ago, and Big Sam has been physical over the last number of years. Matt Foley was physical last season as well. So, look, it's all part of the game, and I love defensemen. And you know what? We watch it, defenseman of the year being pulled out of a hat, obviously, last year with that guy from Cardiff picking it up. Because of offensive numbers, it's defenseman of the year. I've always said that you should have. Yeah. Yes, we all like an offensive-minded defenseman, but defenseman's about being, you know, making an art of your craft and being proud of keeping that puck out of the net as much as a goaltender as well. So it's good to hear him that, you know, he wants to basically concentrate in his own zone first of all, and then have the opportunity, if he jumps into the play, he'll do that. But big boy, obviously we've done a bit of homework on him, and Adam and Steve have done a lot of homework on him. So, yep, it looks as if he's going to be a good fit for us.
Should we do one more?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much. You'd have to ask the fans. Like,
does anybody want any more?
100
likes. I feel like Davina McCall and Big Brother.
The amount of people that you see. Yeah, the amount of people that you see walking about the arena are just texting you, what's it mean, who's signed, and come and tell us this. And that. I don't know anything, people. I've no idea. So
Johnny Baxter says, nah, I'm good. Johnny Baxter,
I'm sure he's a Cardiff fan now anyway.
I said, we're getting lots of yeses and a lot of yes, please. Go on then, yeah. All right then, what about, well, that's five defensemen. Should you add one more? How about maybe one from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Travis Brown is the latest name on the Belfast Giants roster. He'll be wearing 84. Unfortunately, he's unable to join us. We will get an interview with him in the next few days to share with you. But Travis Brown becomes the latest name on the Belfast Giants roster. He's a 29-year-old defenseman from Winnipeg, Manitoba. He's joined us after, two seasons in Denmark. He had a season in Norway and then another season in Denmark before that. But decent numbers in the ECHL and the AHL. And so ultimately, Davey, this guy looks like the real deal as well.
Yes, somebody tweeted a couple of weeks ago there about our defense so far and saying, oh, if this is our defense, we're not going to win anything. Oh.
It's always wasn't name names.
I don't know. I would need to look it up, but it's this kind of stuff stresses me out. I don't like tweeting all that much. I don't tweet all that often, but sometimes people just get me and they pull me in. And if you haven't watched the Belfast Giants for the last 20 plus years, we will have a few studs, absolute studs to come in. Travis Brown, Jacob Friend, maybe even more. I don't know. That's not me announcing anything, by the way. I don't know whether we're got six, I think, now. So I don't know whether that's complete or not. Whether it is or not, these two guys that we've announced tonight are absolute studs, as I've said. Says is giving me shake of his head. He says he knows nothing, but like, what do you call him from Faulty Towers? I know nothing. Won't even share with the boys. I asked him a question earlier on. He goes, I know nothing.
Chancer.
But like Travis Brown, what I like about Travis Brown, obviously played a little bit in Europe. He knows the 200-foot ice sheet. Another kind of in the same mold, big guy. What is he, says 6'2", 200, something like that, you know, big body. So in terms of that, we've signed two real big guys on the back end there. So and one that's played in Europe, which I always think's really, really key. Says is getting, it's funny on the phone here. I'm gonna have to send him a message here. What's going on? I really like the looks. I really like the look of Travis Brown here. I was trying to think there, have we had another number 84? Somebody in the comments can remind me if we have, but I can't think that we have had. It might be the first 84 that we've signed.
Interesting signing as well. So, you know, like he has that, he's already coming in with that European experience.
Yeah, David just touched on. I mean, it can be important because it's not so much the leagues that they play in Europe, it's the size of the ice. So when you get the chance to play as a defenseman, Travis Brown and Jacob Friend, they'll be used to playing on the smaller pads. And when you get that extra 10, 12 feet in the width and another, well, not so much the size of the blue zone, but, you know, it can make a difference. So it's all about keeping your sticks and touching the, you know, keep in touch with our defensemen and a lot of partnership, a lot of communication. So, again, you just trust in Kiefer and trust in Steve. You know, when we need to make changes, we're not afraid to make them, and that proven last year. So it's really difficult. Davey mentioned the first thing he talked about when we started talking about, you know, missing and bringing guys in. You're never, ever, ever guaranteed top players and top points on every single player you bring in. You talk about the potential. You talk about, you know, how good you are in the room. And from all reports again, but we're getting about Travis Brown, he's right up there.
It says, I've talked about it over years. Patrick Vronka should have been better for us than he was. Tyler Soy, and he's just departed, for me, should have produced more than what he produced over the couple of seasons he did. Now, he came up with a couple of big moments, scored a goal, obviously, in the Challenge Cup final. It'll go down in history, and he produced big moments. But for me, and a great kid, but just didn't produce in the way that it's a CV probably. So you don't know, you're getting unknown quantities. But from what we can see from what they've done, and I really like that he's played in Europe before. I think 15 feet says, you tell me as a D-man, how much more important is it 15 feet wider? How much harder is that to defend?
Potentially in our two strides. You know, it literally is. And it's when you get guys of the speed of Kohei Sato and Matt McLeod coming at you, especially in training, this will definitely help him. But it's tough because you literally, again, it can, especially in the first month or so, it can make you feel a wee bit disorientated because you're used to keeping between the dots. So if you basically stay between the dots and keep your man to the outside, it does make the game an awful lot easier. But
so that's, look, is that allowing him then? Is that giving him the half wall and getting down behind you just easier because you're naturally set up between the dots and you're trying to show him outside?
Yeah, you always want to show your
An 85 foot pad, you've got the chance to rub him out, but on 100 foot wide, he's getting around the back of you.
It's literally about, you know, getting set and getting ready to go, and I'm actually just really excited for it now. I mean, when you're in the office every day, you know, you're doing bits and pieces every day, and then you're working out, it's only 60 days to the first game, and you're sitting going, oh, it's really not that far away. Like, it really is not that far away. And then Laura starts shouting out, but you stop talking, will you stop counting down? I've actually started to mark it off in my calendar, and I'm getting shouted at every day, 60 days a day or 59 tomorrow. And as soon as you mention it, you're getting things thrown at you and everything. So, no, it's all good.
How's that different to during the season?
Yeah.
No, it's really, well, during the season, you have to do it a lot quicker. During the off season, you've got a little bit of time to get it done. But then again, you get Kiefer jumping into the mix, and you know, he's always looking something done as well.
Speaking of that, shall we bring in the head coach of the Belfast Giants? He's kind enough to join us following the announcement of Jacob Friend and Travis Brown. Please welcome back Adam Keith. How are you doing, coach?
I'm great. You guys?
Good, good. How's your summer been? Busy?
Fantastic. It's been beautiful weather here in Belfast. I cannot complain. Although today felt like maybe summer was ending.
And congratulations on the ever-expanding family.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a busy house, but I can't complain again. Colleen's just took the brunt of it, that's for sure.
Before we come into the two names that we've just been speaking about and one we've just been speaking to, on the back of the season that we've just had and the remarkable success, what's your mindset going into the next season? Because obviously, you know as well as we do, better than we do, the fact that there are going to be players who already, as that final buzzer went in Nottingham, were already planning to go off somewhere else. So you've obviously got it on your shoulders that following a massive successful season is just to do it again, but finding the right players to do it with.
Yeah, I mean, well, that is the goal every summer, right? Like, it's nothing really changes. Players come and go, with the goal stays the same here. Obviously, we've set the bar pretty high, so it's going to be difficult to obtain that. We haven't done that as a club. So, it's going to be difficult to do it again. But, I do like the guys that are returning. They'll have been there and done that. And we'll have had a taste of what that feels like to take all three home. And then you're going to get some new blood that's coming in hungry for that same success. And, I think my second league title as a player, I think we brought back pretty much the exact same team the next year. It just didn't work. It was whatever it may be. Maybe guys are another year older. Maybe they're just less motivated for whatever reason. Maybe that falls on the captain's shoulders. Maybe I wasn't good enough at motivating them the second year, and that's all a reality, right? Like, we had a very good year last year, and now we're going to have to work very hard to emulate that year because, you've got the likes of Cardiff, who's stacking up, Sheffield, who's always going to be there. Glasgow made some fairly big announcements there. We know Guildford's going to be good again. Nottingham, obviously looking for a resurgence. So you got these teams that are going to be gunning for us, and you're not going to get the worst of a team. That's for sure. They're going to come in. They're going to be ready for us. So we need to approach the season like we do every season and just try to build here, get going. And I like the way the team is looking right now. And, obviously enjoy the rest of the summer, but start to get excited a little bit for what's to come.
Coach, it's lovely to talk to you on a bright night instead of a cold winter night. You referenced there a couple of things from your own playing days, a championship team, and then going in sort of being critical of yourself as a captain. You're obviously going to need a new captain next season. Unfortunately, Goody's decided to move on. And the other thing, we referenced at the end of the season how big George Iwata was, but you've obviously brought Mace back into the fold this season as well. Another big, that's as big as signing a player, surely.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, all the coaches I work well with, obviously I have a close relationship with each of them. I thought George came in, did a great job in Mace's absence. I thought he was good. I thought he was great with the players. Personally and professionally, in terms of developing the players, and really here, some of the things that he's really strong at, I'm very weak at, right? So he's complimenting me in those areas, and he cares. He cares about this club, he cares about the city, and that's what we're looking for. Obviously, Stewie's been here from day one, and then he bleeds teal. And then you got Mace coming back as a guy that came in. just a year after I'd taken over as coach and, you know, started to work his way back into the coaching. And I thought that he picked it up quickly, and you could tell that he really cares about his team. He really cares about winning, and he works hard, you know. And I mean, those are all recipe for success. So, and to get him back and to also bring him back to Belfast and to bring him and his family home, you know, these are why we like to put a real stress on family culture here in Belfast, because we want Jeff to be at home here with his family. We want George to be able to come home and live with his family as well, on home soil here in Northern Ireland, sunny Northern Ireland.
I don't even know what to ask you. What about your spuds? Are they growing well?
They are. I got to get them off the ground. I got to get them off the ground. I've lost the... My memory's not great, so I'm not sure which day I'm supposed to take them off the ground, but I think they're ready now.
I thought it was 60 days. There's my counting's out the window. 59 days till you get going on the ice in a game situation. Are you counting them down one by one?
I am not. They are going down too quickly, in my opinion. But as the days start to tick away, you start to really focus on the task at hand and how we're gonna, attempt to redo this thing. I've said before, the treble's been done twice before, but the treble back to back is not. So, there's a new goal, and again, obviously, we're starting off the season with the Champions League. We want to continue to make steps in that tournament and continuously put the Belfast Giants on the map in Europe and just the Elite League as well, right? We're representing the Elite League here when we're going to the Champions League. And I think this league and our organization as a whole has taken huge steps in the Champions League, but also in Europe in terms of respect. And you see that by the likes of some of our players that are moving on, and teams want players that are champions, and I think they have respect for us when they play against us now, and so it makes it a lot easier to take our players, unfortunately.
Let's just have a few words about the two players that we were able to share with everybody tonight, which is, of course, Jacob Friend and Travis Brown. You're the guy who's brought these guys, these two lads in and have them on your roster. Your thoughts on what you feel that these two defensemen can offer?
I think they're both two guys. Obviously, Travis, I've spoken with Travis for a few summers now, just in terms of recruitment. I don't think we've ever come very close, but this year I sent him a message, and he's very interested in the school package here at Ulster. I believe he's going to attend. And then you look at where he's played. He's played in Denmark and Norway had a stop in, and then also had some success in the East Coast League. And, he's a guy that skates extremely well, capable of offense. You can see that by his numbers, but he cares. He's a good teammate. He's going to play hard defensively and offensively for us. From watching his games, he's got a pretty big frame that if you get in his way, he may make you pay. So, all these things are going to be valuable to us, but the number one thing that stands out the most from him, aside from his success and the fact he's a good ice hockey player, is every reference came back about how good a person Travis is off the ice, in the dressing room, and these are all things that we want to add. You can work with people like that, and you surround yourself with good people if good things happen. And so we're extremely happy to have Travis join us. And then Jacob, I feel like I'm echoing that. Another guy, I asked many of his coaches and teammates about him, and one of the first things to talk about is how scary he can be on the ice, how mean he can be on the ice, but also the fact that he's a very good hockey player. You don't get called up to the American League for no reason. He can play both ways. He's capable of offense, but he prides himself more on taking care of the defensive side of things. And I'm sure our goaltenders will appreciate that as well. But again, another guy that the number one thing guys are talking about is how good he is in the room, how good a person he is. And these are all things that we really value here. And so, you know, when you get a good hockey player and the references check out, that these people are going to fit into our culture here and what we believe being a Belfast Giant is all about, then you take a jump on those guys and work with them to become champions, right? We didn't start out the year fantastically last year, but we worked with the group and made the changes we thought we needed to, and we ended up getting to where we needed to be. And that'll be no different this year. We're going to have some hiccups. We're going to have to work together to get to where we need to be.
Coach, if I can bore you with a little technical question, we were talking about it just when you came on there, the difference between guys that have grown up and only really ever played on the 85 feet wide and then they come to the 200 by 100 foot ice. Obviously, Travis has played in Europe, so he's played on the big ice sheet. Jacob hasn't, he's played in Europe. Is it something that you factor in when you're recruiting, or is it just something you know they'll transition well enough because they're good skaters?
I thought you were about to ask him as a player.
Ask him what?
I thought you were about to ask him what the 100 foot makes if you're a player.
Big man won everything there was to win, says. Can't say anything about him.
It's not true, actually.
Well, not quite true.
I did, as a player, actually, I found it helpful to have that extra second with the puck to get my head up. Obviously, I couldn't finish hits quite as easily as you can back home on the smaller ice surface, which was a big part of my game, but also maybe the worst part of my game back home was also the fact that I couldn't handle a puck. Where here, when you come in and you have a bit more space on the ice, you get a chance to actually get your head up and maybe take a look to maybe make a pass instead of getting your head taken off the moment you touch the puck. So it gives you a little bit more time with the puck. But when you're speaking about recruitment, it is certainly an area that we look at is skating. I mean, that's just hockey in general. It probably doesn't really matter if you're on the big ice or the small ice. Skating is important now. So skating is a big factor in that. There is a transition period for guys coming from North America to the big ice. There certainly is. And just in terms of your angles and your spacing on the ice, and knowing where you are and knowing what type of angle you may need to take to make sure that the guy can't beat you wide. But these are not things that I worry about. Like, guys, it takes one time to get roasted wide, and all of a sudden, I gotta maybe take a little tighter angle on that one, right? So, and that's obviously why practicing is so important as well. That we gotta practice angling and making sure that guys are getting used to the big ice as soon as possible. But once they transition, you know, it's just hockey.
Do you give them, I'm just reading here, Kevin Madden, and then they have to play at the Drizzle Dome. Do you give them any, ever give them a heads up to say that some of the places you're going to play aren't that great? Or just like leave them to see it themselves?
Well, most of my chats, I mentioned the fact that there's different sized arenas. I don't mention the type arenas, but you know, certainly the fact that there's different sized arenas, you know, that is a fact. Actually, one of the main things I remember is Jeff Mason, before he left there the year before, was like, you know, he would make little videos to kind of prep the guys for what they're going into. So there's no real surprise factor when you walk into the Drizzle Dome. We've witnessed it. We've seen it before. Because it's very hard to win in that building. I mean, things happen extremely fast. It's a different style of hockey. And you got to figure it out quick. Otherwise, you can lose the game in the first period.
One final one. Obviously, you know, you say it's 59 days until the puck drops on that first game. Mm-hmm. Are you still, do you have, you know, are we waiting on players coming in, or do you have sight of exactly what your roster is going to look like?
I have sight of what our roster will look like for sure. That being said, we're not finalized just yet. We could be, like, in terms of if some players accept the offer that we've made, then that's a wrap and done. But you know, that's not how the business works. So know, there's a lot of wait and see, and then sometimes in that wait and see, something else pops up, and then you know you veer off, and you know, you also start to have time right now when we are kind of waiting on players to make decisions, that you have time to evaluate what you do have and make sure that, okay, that's, you know, what do we need to add? And then sometimes you veer off that, right? Sometimes you, when you have time to think about things, it's, okay, maybe we need to get better in this area. Maybe we should go and look for this type of player instead. And sometimes you do change your mind. So while we do have an idea of how we're going to look and what that could look with a few different types of players, it could all change in a hurry, and things can fall through as well.
Just one more question, Coach, because it's just something that quite interests me from a perspective of you being and that coach and how you approach the season. Obviously, over the last number of seasons, there is that sort of transition of and transitive roster of players coming in, coming out, and whatever. Is it difficult to sort of find a motivational approach? Because you see, we've been lucky enough to see like around the locker room and whatnot, and seeing Bices, the around the locker room and see did you have the motivational phrases, the messages you want to get into the guys' heads when they go out there, the of how you want to approach the season, how you want to approach every game. These change year on year to keep them fresh. Is it difficult year on year to find that sort of different angle for motivation?
Yes. Well, for example, last year we didn't change anything. So we thought it worked pretty good the year before last. So we stuck with the hunter theme. You know, we wanted to go out and hunt our goals and be proactive in the game. We wanted to not sit back, and we wanted to be make sure we're extremely aggressive, both defensively and offensively, and attack teams. And that was kind of our mindset. Will we keep that type of theme going into this year? To be honest with you, I don't know. When this season ended, the whole focus turns to recruitment, and that's it. Everybody involved is just recruitment. And there's not a whole lot of thought put into next year, if I'm completely honest with you. That's where, we're starting to get into the spot now where we're entering July. Now we start to plan for training camp, plan for our season. What does it look like? What do our power plays look like? What type of team are we going to be? I think we know how we want to play, but it becomes now, what horses do we have to put in place? And, we don't always get that right. That's what training camp is for in Champions League, really. Like Champions League, obviously, are going to be very high-paced games that are going to be very challenging. We want to win them, but we're still learning about our team at this stage. It's not like we have last year's team ready to rock. This is a brand new team, so we're going to learn some things about each other in the first month or so, and then we'll see exactly what we have from there. But from honestly, July will be a time to really plan with the coaching staff as to how we want training camp to run, how we want to enter into Champions League, what type of themes we're going to have. Those types of things are discussions that myself and the coaching staff and the management will have, and start to plan how everything's going to look.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Coach, we really appreciate you spending time and taking us through all that. And the roster is coming together really nicely. I know a lot of people are very excited about where this team are going for the next season. 59 days to that first puck drops. Good luck with that. And thanks for your time.
No problem, guys. Cheers for having me.
Big thanks to Adam Keefe for spending a bit of time there and giving us a bit of a great insight into how the roster is being put together. And there's a real balance, says, that you have to find when you put a roster together like that. We found that balance last season, maybe after a few changes in season, but you have to find a balance, and it's, when you're putting that team together. But one thing was very notable, and it's something we spoke about before, and Adam mentioned it a couple of times there. It's attitude in the room, and being the right guy and having the right attitude in the room is such a key to having that success on the ice.
Yeah, and it's not always the coaches that pick up on that. A lot of the time it's the players. It's a lot, and they, when you're in the room, the the room is sort of placed, a lot of the time it's placed itself by the players. You know, if the leadership group then will, you know, they'll get in a huddle and they'll basically go, right, well, you know, this guy's causing a bit of an issue, or, you know, we need to nip this in the bud or whatever it may be. And that's a lot of the time, you know, that's how coaches find out about issues and challenges. And yes, sometimes guys don't do what they're supposed to be doing on the ice. We talked about, you know, some players last season that, you know, maybe didn't hit the heights that we wanted them to hit. But look, that's hockey. It's the same as football. I mean, look at some of the footballers that sign for different clubs around the world, and it doesn't always hit the way they want it to hit. So it's sometimes it's a bit of a gamble you take to bring all these guys in, and hopefully that you can just gel them together. And that's where Adam excels. You know, he's very, very good at motivating guys. I think it's fair to say that all three of us would run through a brick wall, you know, if he told us to. So especially if he told us there's a galaxy sitting on the other side of it. But I know Davey's going to shout at me. But you know, it's one of those ones where it's like we're very, very lucky that we pay attention to what and do our homework with regards to due diligence, and speak to coaches, and speak to guys, and speak to teammates, and speak to people that know these people that we're bringing in. And that's a big, big part of what we do. So it's he's already touched on Jacob Friend and Travis Brown. And I've no doubt that, you know, whoever else we'll bring in, he's doing exactly the same with them as what he's done with everybody that has been announced so far.
The motivational side, I know I asked that question there, Davey, and the motivational side fascinates me at times, because obviously when you've got new players coming in and don't know your processes and don't know your approaches, then you can maybe, as you said, you'll push what you've had before. But when you've got maybe players who have been there 2, 3, 4 years, you don't want them getting tired of the same thing, and you want to find a new key to motivate them out on the ice and some, you know, approach your phrases or an idea of how to approach it. And it seems that Adam has found that.
Yeah, I find that's the most stressful part of the show after Kiefer drops off, because he stays down below and you've got to, you know. So like, but I tweeted something last year whenever things weren't, not taking any credit, by the way, for anything, about a farmer plants his potatoes, and there's Kiefer gone and actually literally planted his own potatoes. So we're pleased to see that, you know.
I usually leave it to the green stalks get tall enough, and you look at the green stalks getting tall enough, and then I just go, must be about now. I've never done it right, so don't take it.
Mate, I got to be honest. We planted spuds for the first time last year, and they were awful, and I didn't do anything other than dig a ground, and I've got spuds in my garden by accident this year.
Have you?
I pulled some of them out the other day, and they're about this size. So I'm going to leave them for a while longer. But anyway, yes, back to the motivation. Like, all those motivational things are great, and words are words, but actions are actions. And when you've got Adam Keith, you know, who will force guys down a line that sometimes they'll not want to go down, you know, that they'll have to. If you want to be a Belfast Giant, if you want to win Grand Slams, if you want to put medals around your neck, if you want to hang banners, you have to play the Adam Keith way. And he talked about the last two seasons about playing hard on defense, hard on offense. And we talked about, I bet still that Adam will have seen things in a Grand Slam season that he'll have wanted done better. He'll have wanted better special teams. He'll have wanted better power play, wanted better penalty kill, because his demands are that on players. And if you want to come to Belfast as a player, you've got to be willing to have those demands put on you and meet them. So, you know, these guys, there's a lot of in-depth stuff goes in this recruitment, of no doubt. Adam's just very, very touched on the very, very basis of they have to be good skaters, they have to be good people. And he talked about Mace and the family side of things and all this. All these keys all come together. And if you're not willing to buy into that, as you've seen in the last couple of years, it doesn't matter if it's September, October, November, December. There's the door, there's the boat, there's the train, there's a boat, off you go. You know, buy in or go home.
Absolutely. Well, listen,
that should be a banner, shouldn't it? Should that be one? So buy in and go home.
Buy it.
Buy in or
go home. Just replace. Go home. Give
put that in the back of a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. The team is coming together. The balance is coming there. We'll no doubt there are still quite a few names to be added ahead of that puck dropping in 59 days. And we're excited to see what is to come. Thanks to Adam and thanks to Jacob Friend for joining us. Any other business, boys? Now, I'm going to throw one up first of all, and that's just a congratulations to Robert Fitzpatrick, who, regards to the European Hockey Alliance, went over there and won the award for leadership. I don't think there's any arguing with that. Simon, basically because he'd probably kick you in the backside if you tried to argue with it.
No comment. He look, he came in. It was funny. He came into the office last week. I hadn't seen him because he was away in Prague, wasn't it? I think it was
Prague.
Yeah. The award up. He knew nothing about it.
Right.
He knew absolutely nothing about it. And I think he said, I think it was Imelda, his wife, he was speaking to, and he was saying he was going to go to the event in a pair of like chino shorts and a polo shirt. And Imelda was saying, no, you could catch yourself on. You need to go with like a shirt and a pair of trousers on. And but otherwise, genuinely, he was going to go in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. But he said, thank goodness it didn't, and took the advice and picked it up. But look, you know, we talk about it on numerous times throughout the season and what he's done for the Belfast Giants, the club, and obviously the organisation and the whole thing. And he's a top dog for a reason. So it's very, very well deserved. And look, again, it's maybe the first of many here. There's we won so much last year. And you know, when you win, you keep on winning, it makes things an awful lot easier for people to pick accolades up.
Davey, word for Robert.
Oh, yeah. Well done.
Okay. Any other business, boys?
I've only got one, says, before you go there. Last year, I did a little fundraiser. Thank you very much for everybody. We were doing it for AT&I. Every goal the Belfast Giants scored last year. So the likes himself pledged 50p, says pledged 50p. Giants only went and scored 304 goals, so cost us over 150 quid. So thanks for that, Kiefer, on that one. You could maybe have won the league with like 10 or 20 less goals. We'd be appreciated. But so £840 was raised for AJNI. I'm going to convert that into cash and go down and give it to AJNI, and they're going to put it in their emergency fund if there's a pensioner in need. If a pensioner needs some oil, gas, money for food, like a little crisis loan, they're going to be able to take that cash from Belfast Giants fans and put it straight into pensioners' pockets. I didn't want it going into admin fees and office fees and that. I wanted to get it into pensioners' hands. So with the mental health last year, with the HNI and the season that's just passed, so thank you to every single person that put their hands in their pockets and donated. So £840 in AFTB Belfast Giants names going to pensioners in Belfast that need it, or across the country that need it. So thank you.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Sam?
David, you've got to touch on your mate.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that, mate?
Colin Shields.
Right. Oh, Colin Shields. Member of the British Empire by His Majesty's appointment. Forgot about that.
Awarded an MBE in the birthday honours list just a couple weeks ago.
The second Belfast Giant from the MBE. The first one was also a Scots superstar hockey player, so Mr. Tony Hahn. So he joins good company there. The two of them drafted to the NHL, the two of them MBEs, and King Charles's first list of honours. Colin Shields gets one, so very well deserved. A great servant to hockey, let's be honest, over many years. Served his country well, served this club fantastically, scored a lot of goals, played a lot of games. And congratulations, it's really good.
Glad you remember that, Davey.
Yeah, big congratulations to Colin Shields. Wonderful for him to be able to be recognised in that way. Simon, anything from you?
Yeah, I have a couple of things. Neil Whiteside has been working his magic, and on Thursday evening we show the Grand Slam documentary. So we've got two shows. It's going to be a W5 in the Lecture Theatre. The seat 15 is sold out. I think there's only about three or four tickets left for the 6:30 show. So it'll sell out as well. Thanks very much to Victoria and the team at W5 for accommodating us. It's very, very much appreciated. And the OSC for putting all the hard work into getting it organized. So it's brilliant that, you know, we Neil's got this organized, and I've seen it. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And you know, we're going to be able to watch the season in an hour and 10 minutes for a change, instead of having to sit through all that hockey last year. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, definitely at times there is, for sure. I would say there'd be a few people with a few tears in their eyes as well at some point. And so bring a tissue, or we'll, do you know what? We could probably sell tissues on the way in.
Branded. Get a branded
sign.
Absolutely, 100%. I've sold worse. A couple of special guests are going to be there on the night as well. So looking forward to that. And then we We posted the other day about potentially having a golf day. Oh, yeah. Yes. And I know there's quite a few golfers. Hopefully you two guys can make it as well. It's going to be in September. Date will be announced early next week. It's going to be at Hollywood Golf Club. And we're just waiting for a few little items to get sorted out. But the players will all be playing. The coach will be playing. A few special guests from yesteryear will be coming along. And hopefully you two are available to come along and play as well. And yeah, we're looking forward to that. So we've got something different for the OSA. We had a meeting on Sunday. Quite a few other things planned this year. And yeah, it's again, it's the season's only around the corner. So rest up while we can. It's only the 27th of June. So we get another 6 weeks rest, and then it's straight down to work, proper work.
I remember almost July.
It was good fun. almost July. Couple of days left, Davey. Couple of days left.
When are you home?
I'm off to Scotland on Saturday morning, mate.
That's a long walk from there.
Mm-hmm. I've got a long walk in Scotland too.
Oh, very good.
Right. And on that note,
quickly moving on.
Looking forward to Mr. Whiteside's kindly sent me a copy of the documentary to have a wee look at as well. I'm looking forward to watching that. I'm going to be watching that tonight once I've stopped talking to you guys. And yeah, no doubt everybody's in for a treat come Thursday when they get to see the final thing of that. And he always does a fantastic job. And what a season to reflect on. Absolutely amazing season to reflect on, and no better way to do it than just with another one of his documentaries. Go on.
At the start of every year, last year, did you do the predictions of who was going to win what? Do you still keep those, Paddy?
I said
we'd win everything.
I think I said we win it all.
Welcome, lads. Congratulations.
I don't remember.
That's obviously not true. Simon obviously remembers something here.
No, I genuinely don't. I don't remember. Because we did it the year before. Was I doing it last year? I think
what we have done is that we did the predictions on the playoff final four.
If we go in this season as Belfast Giants fans without predicting that we're going to win everything, just give it up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think we made predictions of who would win the final four, and I wrote them down, and then we came to the final four and I forgot to bring it in the show. So but this, you know, is what happens sometimes. I do things and then I totally forget.
We were talking about Davey. I can't remember where I seen Davey mention this, but you know, when I was talking to somebody and he was at the playoff weekend. I met them in our shopping center. It was either Thursday or Friday evening last week. And they were sitting going, oh, you know, it's been so long since the playoff final. What is it? 8 weeks or whatever it is. And I'm going, yeah, it's been a long time. And they're sitting saying, you know, when Cardiff scored that, I was really panicking and everything. I said, well, you know, I said, that's just the way sport goes. Sometimes teams score and it was a bad time to concede the goal. He says, yeah, but, you know, we didn't play great and we didn't do this. And I'm going, right, okay. I said, I'm going to have to get on here. And you're trying to, I can't remember the name of this person. And I was just trying to get out, just exit stage left. And he says, I'm sure you all thought the same. And I'm going, nope. I said, I was in the suite with Josh Roach, and Josh Roach is standing. He just turned around and says, well, you all calm that down. And he says, we've got this. We've got this. And it was just Davey then put it up. I can't remember where I've seen it.
It was on Twitter when Roachie was announced back or something.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
He came in during, I think it was during the period break, he came in, because there was tension, Simon, let's be honest, you know.
Oh, yeah, there definitely was
tension. There was a lot in the line, and he's just relax. Well, he just didn't say just relax, but that was the gist of what he said. And then we've seen him on the ice after it, and he says, told you.
It was
re-announced to put the t-shirt, Roachie says relax, that was it.
There's one other thing, Paddy, I wanted to say. One of our new partners, the Wee Poutine Truck, which sits just beside the Big Fish, they are holding an event on Saturday. It's going to be at the Banana Block there on the Newton Ards Road. At 12 o'clock it starts, I believe, maybe a little bit earlier. But we're going to have two special guests coming along and three pieces of silverware that I actually need to get Jasmine to clean this week. The poutine truck is going to be there on Saturday afternoon, 12 o'clock, and the boys will be there between 12 and 1, 1.15, something like that, along with the trophies. So anybody wants to come along, you're more than welcome.
By the by, I had some fantastic poutine at Glastonbury at the weekend. They did it. I'm sure they do equally as good at the poutine truck, but some absolutely top-notch poutine at Glastonbury at the weekend. The amount of food I had was just ridiculous. Anyway, but yeah, that sounds good. Right, gents, thanks very much for your time. Big thanks to Jacob Friend and Adam Keith for joining us. And welcome to Jacob and to Travis Brown to the Belfast Giants. We've got a great season ahead. Maybe we'll have a chat once again before that season starts. Thanks to you, gents, as always, for taking the time out of your summer to chat. Just thanks to everybody with some great numbers tonight, the amount of people who are watching live. So listen, thank you so much to everybody who watches, who listens, who interacts, sends us tweets. The comment section has been buzzing tonight as well. We really appreciate you guys being part of this, and we really enjoy doing it, and hopefully we've got a great season of it ahead. You can get us, of course, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all the podcast, normal podcast stuff, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, kingdomofthegiants.com, at AVFTB on Twitter. I'm not doing the TikTok. TikTok was nonsense. Tried doing the TikTok, decided, you know what, this is like far too much work, and there's people who can do it a hell of a lot better than me. So if that's been jettisoned. I'm not tickety-talking.
Let's put it out there to fans. Get a young person instead of us. Get a young person.
Is there a young person who's good at TikTok?
An AVFTB TikToker. Let's get one on board.
Is there a TikToker out there? That's what I want to know. Is there a TikToker out there?
Who wants to come on board as the AVFTB TikToker? send us a message. Email us. Write us a letter.
Apply for the job.
Send a stamped addressed envelope to
things, people.
there are kids watching this thinking, what the hell's a
stamped address envelope?
Right, let's wrap it up. Guys, thank you very much for your time. Thanks to Jacob and Adam Keefe for their time. And wherever you are, we hope you're enjoying your summer. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Bye. Podcast Network.